Welcome to GW Hospital Healthcast. I'm Dr. Mike Smith. The topic today is ECMO services at the George Washington University Hospital. My guest today is Dr. Farzad Najam. He is the Director of Cardiac Surgery and an Associate Clinical Professor of Surgery at the George Washington University Hospital. Dr. Najam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Smith.
Let's do this. Let's start with a nice review of what exactly is ECMO and how it works.
So thank you so much again, Dr. Smith. ECMO is an acronym for extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. So simply what ECMO does is that it provides artificial circulation and supports the heart and lung. So what we do in ECMO is that take the blood from the venous side, and there are multiple modes that we can use this modality in, but it provides oxygen into the blood with an oxygenator, and then there's an external pump which pumps the blood back into the patient's body.
Yeah, so who benefits from this? What type of patients are you currently treating with ECMO?
So we have treated a variety of patients. So there are many, many, many indications, and it's a very open-ended support system. So when I describe this to my colleagues and some people, we talk about this as a life support. So whether a patient's life support needs to be supported when their heart's not working or their lungs are not working, we can pretty much support the patients who are in extremis. And there are multiple indications for that. For example, if somebody, the lungs, if somebody has respiratory failure, and they are put on the ventilator, and if conventional modes of ventilation are not sufficient enough to oxygenate that particular patient or ventilate, meaning carbon dioxide removal, then what we do is that we put those patients on extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, ECMO, which takes the blood from the patient's venous side and puts the patient's blood back into the venous side after the oxygen is pushed into the patient's blood and carbon dioxide is washed out. So that takes over the function of the lung, and it's basically artificial lung. The other mode that we use this in is if a patient's heart's not working and they have extreme cardiogenic failure or cardiac failure, then we can use what we call as veno-arterial ECMO. Veno-arterial ECMO takes blood from the venous side of the patient's heart and pumps it into the arterial system, providing oxygenated blood into the patient's arterial system with force and with flow, and that raises the person's blood pressure and supports the heart and also takes over the function of the heart. So the patient's body does not have to completely rely on a failing heart. We provide the function of the heart with this pump.
So tell us about the team of professionals that, will do ECMO on patients at George Washington Hospital.
As I say, it takes a whole village to raise these kind of patients and perform this, this team approach. So the way we describe and divide the team is that there are implanters. Implanters are surgeons or whoever is capable of putting in tubes. These are big cannulas which go into the veins and arteries of the patient's body. Then during the implantation of these cannulas, there's a surgeon involved, there are assistants, there are surgical techs, there are circulating nurses, there's a perfusionist. The role of the perfusionist is that the perfusionist is an expert who manages the heart-lung machine or the circulatory pumps. And then and to bring everything together, we have an extra ECMO coordinator. So the job of the ECMO coordinator is ECMO coordinator is a nurse who has clinical experience with ECMO, and he or she brings the whole team together and coordinates the functioning. Once the ECMO is implanted, once the ECMO is initiated on a patient, those patients stay in the cardiac intensive care unit at the George Washington University Hospital. Now, the cardiac intensive care unit is headed by our cardiac intensivist, who has special training and specialization in managing cardiac patients. So we, the cardiac surgeons and the cardiac surgical team, in collaboration with the intensive care team, with the critical care team, manages these patients, because these patients not only have lung issues, they have a number of heart and lung issues which need to be managed and other different systems. And then that team also have their physician assistants and fellows who manage these patients. Also, the pivotal aspect of this team is the bedside nurse. At the George Washington University Hospital, we follow the model which we call as the single caregiver model. So the single caregiver model means that the bedside nurse, who is the ECMO, specially trained ECMO nurse, manages these patients, manages the ECMO, manages the pump globally, and with backup from the perfusionist for troubleshooting. If there is a problem with the pump, then we have perfusionists always on the backup. So the center of the universe for this team is the ECMO. ECMO nurse. And then we have access to our interventional radiologists, interventional cardiologists, in case, you know, these patients need something more that needs to be done. So it's a broad-based team approach. Plus, if once we mobilize these patients, then we have respiratory therapists who work with us. And if we go and put patients on ECMO at our satellite hospitals or outside hospitals, then we have a dedicated ambulance where these ambulance EMTs and drivers are well-versed with our equipment and how. And these are ambulances designed for our equipment. We've modified our equipment to fit in a very limited space. So there's a whole ecosystem which works as a team of ECMO specialists.
So how can providers and their patients access the ECMO services at George Washington University Hospital?
Yeah, so we have a one-call system. Let's say if other institutions have a need for ECMO. Well, first of all, we try to collaborate with our one-call system. So one-call system is a system which has been created by the George Washington University Hospital, where hospitals which have collaboration with us, they can call our patient logistics center. And patient logistics center will receive the phone call, and they will say, okay, you know, I have a patient who needs to go on ECMO and has respiratory or cardiac failure. The patient logistics center has been trained by our ECMO coordinator, Melody Ricks, who will be receiving the first phone call. Once the ECMO coordinator receives the first phone call in terms of the utility or the need of ECMO at that satellite hospital, then I will, as a physician, whoever is on call for cardiac surgery, will be connected directly to the outside physician. And those two physicians, while the patient logistics center is on the same line, have the conversation. And then once the clinical indications and discussions are had, and the receiving physician, whether it's me or other cardiac surgeons, once they agree, yes, this patient needs to be on ECMO, then the next algorithm that we follow is that can the patient be transported safely to the George Washington University Hospital, because our preference is, obviously, if the patient can be transported, we would like to have them transported and then do the ECMO here. But if the patient cannot be transported and they're very unstable for transportation, then that generates another level of algorithm where the ECMO coordinator will initiate an ECMO transportation call. And the calls are made to perfusionists, the calls are made to the surgeons, the call is made to the nurse, operating room nurse, the LifeStar ambulance. And then we usually try to gather everybody at the hospital within half an hour to 45 minutes. Once everybody gathers and the ambulance is waiting outside, we get an ETA. And and Patient Logistics Center communicates with the other hospital that this is our estimated time of arrival. We take our equipment, we load it up into the ambulance, and we usually take five people that include the surgeon, the perfusionist, the nurse, the ECMO coordinator, and one extra person who is the surgical tech. And we go to that hospital while we are 5 to 10 minutes away. We communicate with the patient logistics center, who communicates with that hospital where security receives us and the loading dock for the ambulances. And then we go to the ICU, put the patient on ECMO. Once the patient is stabilized and we are happy, we pack up and put the patient on our monitors, our equipment, and we have a special stretcher for that transportation, and then we bring the patient back to the George Washington University Hospital.
So in summary, Dr. Najim, what would you like people to know about the ECMO services at the George Washington University Hospital?
So the a basic summary of our ECMO program is that we are very approachable, and we pride ourselves in saying that we are a resource for other hospitals where those patients cannot be managed with conventional modalities. And our team is very mobile. Our team would go to satellite hospitals, outside hospitals, any time of the day. We have 24/7 coverage for this modality. All they have to do is make a phone call, discuss it with the physician who's on call. We make it very, very, very easy for those physicians to have direct contact with our physicians so that discussions can be had. And if the patients cannot be transported, we will come to those institutions, right, provided provided the weather and everything cooperate. We'll come and put those patients on ECMO over there. This is a modality which saves lives, and it's becoming more and more commonplace. There's more awareness about ECMO. ECMO is very safe. It helps people. It saves lives. But also the other part I would like to convey to our partners in the community is that earlier the better. ECMO is just a support system. If it's done later in the patient's critical illness course, then ECMO sometimes cannot help because the illness is already had profound effect on patients' hemodynamics and other organs. So call us earlier, the better. The earlier the patients go on ECMO, if they need to go on ECMO, the better outcomes we will have.
Right. Well, Dr. Najim, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for coming on the show today. You're listening to GW Hospital HealthCast with the George Washington University Hospital. For more information, you go to gwhospital.com. That's gwhospital.com. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of the George Washington University Hospital. The hospital should not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. I'm Dr. Mike Smith. Thanks for listening.